Okay, good evening. So, Sefer Shoftim, we're in the middle of Perek Aleph of Sefer Shoftim. I believe we got up to Pasuk Yud Zayin, right? Yeah, we did test Zayin, so we're up to Yud Zayin. Good. Okay. So, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayelech Yehuda es Shimon Achiv. So, last week we learned about this pact, right? The deal between Yehuda, Shevet Yehuda, and Shevet Shimon. I'll scratch your back, you'll scratch mine. Right? That was the deal that they made. So originally, Shimon went with Yehuda, and the Malbim says this is now Yehuda paying Shimon back. Right? This is part of the deal here. Vayelech Yehuda as Shimon Achiv. So Yehuda accompanies Shimon, his brother. Vayakues Haknani Yoshev Tzifas. So they defeat the Knani, who settled in Tzfas. Vayacharimu Osa, they destroy it. Vayikra es Shem Ha'ir Charma, and they call the name of the city Charma. Charma seems to be from the language of Vayacharimu, right? It's the language of destruction. Cherem, right? Something that's off limits. It's out of bounds. So that's that seems to be the idea behind this name. Okay, Pasuk Yudches. Vayilkod Yehuda es Aza ve'es Gevula. So Yehuda conquers Aza and its boundary. Ves Ashkelon, ves Gevula. Gevula l'chora means also the surrounding areas around these places. So Aza and the surrounding areas. Aza here seemingly refers to a city. Nowadays we refer to Aza as like not a city but a piece of land. I mean, there's Gaza City, right? But we refer to Aza as a piece of land. Whether it's exactly the same place or not, I'm not 100% sure. But Ashkelon v'es Gevula, v'es Ekron v'es Gevula, these three cities and the surrounding areas, Yehuda, Shevet Yehuda conquered. Vayhi Hashem es Yehuda. So the Navi says that Hashem was with Yehuda. And this is an interesting pasuk here. Vayoresh es Hahar. And Yehuda defeated the mountain. Right? They were successful defeating the mountain. Kilo lahorish es yoshve ha'emek, kirechev barzel lahem. And it sounds like kilo lahorish, right? Some of the mefarshim point out here, I believe the Mitzudas David says, it's almost like it's missing a word here, kilo yachol lahorish. Right? They weren't able to defeat the valley. Why? Kirechev barzel lahem. Because in the valley, they had chariots, they had iron chariots, right? So at face value, what this pasuk seems to be saying was that Yehuda was fighting against the Knani somewhere in this vicinity of Aza, Ashkelon, and Ekron, that they were just, right? The previous pasuk just says that they conquered all those cities. Seemingly, there was an area around that, you know, in that area where there was a mountain and a valley. They defeated the Knani that was living on the mountain. But the ones in the valley, they were not able to defeat. Why? It sounds like because they were too strong. Because they had Rechav Barzel. It's almost like they had tanks, right? You know, the regular infantry they could take care of. But once they saw the tanks, you know, there was nothing they could do. Yehuda could not defeat them. Now, all of the Mepharshim, almost without fail here, you know, are kind of scratching their heads. What does the Navi mean here? That they couldn't defeat them? Kilo lahorish es yoshve ha'emek, they couldn't defeat the inhabitants of the valley because they had iron chariots. As we've seen throughout Sefer Yehoshua, which we just finished, and now the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, these battles are not won with military might. Right? These battles are not won with military strategy and military might. With one exception, we saw that Yehoshua had a very complex military strategy, and even that we learned in Sefer Yehoshua was only kind of a ploy, you know, to fool the people to think that it was military strategy. This was all miraculous, right? This was all the Yad Hashem. All these battles were HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking care of Bnei Yisrael, allowing them to defeat their enemies. It wasn't about military might. It wasn't about strength and power here. So what does it mean? Kilo lahorish es yoshvei ha'emek kirechev barzel lahem. Well, that's too powerful for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could defeat the Rechav Barzel just like he could defeat anything else. Just like he made the walls of Yericho fall down, and he defeated, you know, thousands of people already in all these places, and the Shemesh Begivon Dome, you know, we learned about in Yehoshua that the sun stopped, you know, at midday. I mean, you know, all these miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. A few Rechev Barzo are going to cause a problem here? You know, what's the meaning of this?
Why is it used to turn Lahorish? Really.
Right.
But it's, yeah. It's not term they use when they,
you know, it's interesting. I didn't think about this. Very interesting point, Erwin, because if you look, many of the psukim, you know, seemingly use different words for defeating. You know, even in just the three psukim we just read, right? Yehuda, Pasuk Yudzayin, it says Vayaku es Aknani, Vayacharimu osa.
Yeah, but
right?
Those are words of destruction, physical battle. Lahorish is to inherit it.
Right.
It doesn't sound like
it's like Yerusha.
A fight, right? It doesn't sound like
yeah,
a fight.
Yeah, I hear you.
Term.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, it's under the Mefarshim seem to understand this was a regular, you know, a regular battle that they won. But I hear you. I'm not sure. I'm not sure why specifically that term. I didn't see anything anybody speak about that. Okay. So many of the Mefarshim, you know, basically work with the approach that, you know, this was obviously not. The Navi is not telling us here that they were not able to conquer the valley because they had iron chariots, right? Because the iron chariots, like we said, would not pose a problem for Hashem, just like anything else, you know, just like nothing else posed a problem for Hashem. So most of them understand this to mean that there was some level of Hashem pulling back. There was some level of Siluk Shechina, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu kind of pulling back His presence, and we'll see why in a moment, and once HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls back, so then you're left up to Teva. Then you're left up to nature. Right? Hashem pulls back His Hashkacha. He's pulling back His divine providence, His you know, His oversight, so to speak. You know, particular oversight. And now, I'm left up to Teva. So when you're left up to Teva, they look out and they see the tanks, they see the Rechav Barzel, so then they're not able, literally, Kilo Yachal Horish, right? They're not able to defeat the Yoshe HaEmek. So that's how most of the Mefarshim understand. The question is, why did that happen? Right? Why did Hashem pull back his Hashkacha? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, pull back a little bit and leave them a little bit up to Teva? So Rashi quotes, some of the other Mefarshim also quote this. the Targum Yonasan explains that Rashi quotes the language from the Targum Yonasan, Uvasar kein dechavu. That after Chavu, what's Chavu? Like Chayav. Once they sinned. Right? Once they sinned and they were found liable, so apparently here, the Shevet Yehuda had done something wrong. It's not clear exactly what they did. You know, we're not clear, you know, it's not clear exactly what they did. But it seems like they did something wrong and they sinned. And because of their sins, Hashem pulls back His Hashkacha and now they're left up to Teva. That's how Rashi and the Mitzvah and the Targum Yonasan and other Mefarshim seem to understand.
Did any Shemen sinned also?
Sorry?
Shemen sinned also?
Okay, so that's a good question because Yehuda's going with Shimon here.
Correct.
Right? That's a good point. It's a good point. So it's not clear. I mean, the Pasuk focuses on Yehuda. Right? The Pasuk focuses on Yehuda. And the Targum Yonasan doesn't say who sinned. Targum Yonasan just says Uvasa kein dechavu. It sounds like he's talking about Shevet Yehuda because that's what the pasuk is referring to. Now
it doesn't mean that Shimon was in this battle. Shimon could have been conquering other areas. They didn't have to work together as an army.
That could be members. Right. That could be. Maybe Yehuda, you know, took this one alone, and Shimon was fighting elsewhere. Yeah. That could be.
Maybe Shimon did the mountain, and he did the valley.
And they weren't able to.
Right.
Well, right. The pasuk in Yutess, right? The pasuk in Yutess seems to indicate that that Yehuda defeated the mountain also. Yeah, that's what it seems to be saying. That's a good question. The Ralbag, actually touching on what you're saying, the Ralbag says here that it's not that Hashem pulled back his hashkacha necessarily, but the Ralbag says that each shevet had siyata d'shmaya. Each shevet had divine assistance. But divine assistance to conquer their territory. They didn't necessarily have the siyata d'shmaya to conquer the territory of the other shvatim. So here where Yehuda is coming to help out Shevet Shimon, and Yehuda's coming to conquer Shevet Shimon, and maybe Yehuda was leading the charge or leading the battle, whatever the case might be. So the Rabbah says they did not have the same level of Siyata D'Shmaya, of the heavenly divine assistance, that all of the other Shvatim had when they conquered their own territory. So that's why, that's what the Rabbah says, that's why here, it wasn't per se that Hashem pulled back, it's just that they didn't have the divine assistance. Every Shevet had its own divine assistance, and not necessarily to conquer someone else's territory. Now why that should be, you know, why wouldn't Hashem just help out? You know, if he sees that Yehuda's trying to pitch in and help out Shimon, you know, why wouldn't he just help them out? That's not so clear. Maybe he felt that each one should do their own. You know, that's not clear.
Because the first half of conquering Eretz Yisrael, they all did it
together. Right. Unless for some reason at this point, but it's not clear why that would be. It's not clear why that would be. Some of the other Mepharshim, the Radak says this, and the Mitzvah David says this. They say that this was a test, really, right? That Hashem specifically did not want them to conquer the people of the valley, and He wanted to leave the people of the valley to be able to test Bnei Yisrael. Now we're going to see throughout the remaining Psukim in the Perek how, you know, different Shvatim were negligent and did not drive out the Kanani the way that they were supposed to. But here, according to these Mepharshim, it's not that they did anything wrong. Yehuda would have driven them out. But Hashem didn't allow them to. Hashem basically made these people too strong for Yehuda to drive out in order to leave them there so that they would be able to test Bnei Yisrael. Whereas Hashem didn't want a perfect scene. He wanted these people to remain, to be able to create a Nisayon for Bnei Yisrael. Now, it's interesting, the Mitzudas David, you know, he generally has very short comments. If you look here, he has a decent sized comment here. It's a little longer than his usual comments. And he goes on to explain that if you think about it, what's more difficult from a military perspective? What's more difficult to conquer, a mountain or a valley?
Mountain,
right? That's like what was the battle in Yerushalayim? There was a famous battle in 48, I believe, right? What I'm talking about? Where the soldiers were
ammunition
going... Ammunition Hill, right, very good. Right? Where the soldiers were going up the mountain, you know, it's basically when the enemy's... I'm sorry?
The Golan Heights,
right? When the enemy's sitting at the top, and they're just, you know, they're sitting comfortably at the top, and you're trying to get up there, they're just shooting down, it's hard to capture a mountain. A valley is much easier, right? You're going down into the valley, it's much easier. So, the Mitzudas David said Hashem specifically allowed them to conquer the mountain and not the valley. Why? Because he said, imagine the reverse. Had Hashem allowed them to conquer the valley, but not the mountain, what would they have said? They would have said, oh, the reason why we're able to conquer the valley is because of our strength. The reason why we're not able to conquer the mountain is because why? Mountains are hard to conquer, right? Hashem wouldn't be in the picture. It's all kochi ve'otzem yadi, what we're able to do militarily and what we can't. So this way Hashem reversed it, and it was almost illogical. Because they were able to conquer the mountain. And you would think, says the Mitzvot David, if the army can conquer the mountain, of course they can conquer the valley. But Hashem made it specifically that they could conquer the mountain and not conquer the valley to show them that, okay, this is not just a military strength over here. This is Hashem playing games, not playing games, but this is Hashem sending us a message. Right? This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending us a message that, okay, He's allowing us to conquer the mountain, which is difficult. He's not allowing us to conquer the valley, which should be easy, right? And the reason why is because he wants to send us a message. He wants these people to be here. This was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of communicating His intention to the Jewish army, to Bnei Yisrael. The Al Sheikh says here that if they wanted to, they really could have conquered them. So why didn't they? Right, or why couldn't they? And you know, this, I don't think the Al Sheikh says this per se, but this might even fit into the words, because the Pasuk, it doesn't say Ki lo yachol lehorish, right? The Mitzudas David adds in that that's really what it means. If you look at the Mitzudas David, for those of you who have it, Ki lo lehorish techsar milas yachol, right? That it's missing the word yachol. That's really what we're trying to say here, says the Mitzudas David, right? But according to the way the Al Sheikh is saying it, is that no, the Pasuk does not mean that they were not able to conquer. They were able to conquer. So what was the problem? He says the Al Sheikh, the problem was that they did not have the proper level of emunah and bitachon. Right? They didn't have the proper level of emunah and bitachon in Hashem. And he says, I'll prove it to you. Because what's the next pasuk? Take a look at pasuk Chaf. Vayitnu leKalev es Chevron, kasher diber Moshe. So they give Kalev Chevron, they give Chevron to Kalev, right, as Moshe had promised him. We learned about that in Sefer Yehoshua. Right, we learned about the promise of Moshe to Kalev that he would get Chevron. Vayoresh Misham es Shlosha b'nei ha'anak. And they drove out the three giants. And we learned about that also, right? The Kiryat Arba, right? The father and the three sons, the three giants. So explains the Alshich that why is this pasuk come next? What's this pasuk coming to tell us? Kalev was one person. He didn't have the whole Shevet with him when he was fighting, right? And what was he able to do? Drive out these three giants. Okay? These giants were scary. These giants were, people were scared of them. They were huge. And yet Kalev, with a small army, was able to drive them out. How was he able to do that? Because again, he had the Emunah Bitachon in Hashem, and everything was miraculous, everything was heavenly assistance, right? Divine assistance, and he helped Kalev defeat them. So what the Navi is trying to communicate to us is that the Bnei Yehuda did not have that same level of Emunah and Bitachon as Kalev did. Kalev was able to defeat the three giants and drive them out because he had Emunah Bitachon. The Bnei Yehuda, in contrast, the Bnei Yehuda did not have the same level of Emunah Bitachon, and therefore they were not able to drive out the people of the Amek. That's what the Alshich suggests, based on the connection between these two psukim. The Malbim here also says that again, also that, you know, he working with this idea of the Alshich, they should have really been able to conquer the valley once they conquered the mountain. But he says that, you know, that their intention was a little bit shvach. And he's the first one of the Mefarshim to really say this. And again, we're going to see this as it relates to other psukim and other areas in Eretz Yisrael as we proceed through the Perek. But the Malbim says that really their intention was not really to drive out the Kanani completely. They just wanted to kind of push them off to the side. You know, they didn't really want to drive them out completely out of the land. They just want to kind of, you know, relocate them, push them off to the side a little bit. And he says this was their mistake. Their mistake was that they really were not committed to driving them out the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to do. And they really just wanted to kind of relocate them and push them off to the side. And once that was them, once they did that, they're going to have problems. And Hashem says, okay, you don't want to do it, so these guys are going to stay here. Right, if your intention is not to drive them out, I'm going to make sure that they stay here, and they're going to be thorns in your side. Right? They're going to cause you some problems. So that's how the Malbim understands these psukim. Okay. Excuse me. So we read pasuk chaf. Pasuk chaf aleph. Ve'es hayevusi yoshev Yerushalayim lahorishu b'nei v'nyamin. So we just read about an area that the Bnei Yehuda did not conquer. Now pasuk chaf aleph tells us that there was also an area that the Bnei Binyamin did not conquer. Right? And what was that? That was the area of the Yevusi. Rashi says the Yevusi was a neighborhood in Yerushalayim. And we learned about this also in Sefer Yehoshua, if you remember. Right? This is repeated from there. That the reason why they let them, the reason why they let these people be, was because they were descendants of Avimelech. Okay, Avimelech was the king. Melech Sholem, right? He was the king. And in the times of Avram Avinu, Avimelech and Avraham made a pact. And Avram said, Linini, I'm sorry, Avimelech said, Linini ulenechdi, that this pact should be in effect even for my children and grandchildren and maybe even great-grandchildren. And the Rashi explains here that his descendants remained in Yerushalayim until the times of David HaMelech. Once David HaMelech came along, there was no more Linini ulenechdi. They were all gone. Right? His direct descendants were all gone. Of course, you know, indirect descendants were still around. But the direct descendants were all gone at that point. And therefore, in the time of David HaMelech, he was allowed to drive them out. But until then, they really couldn't drive them out. They really couldn't touch the Yevusi. The Yevusi had to stay there. It's also interesting, they just make, some of the Mefarshim make a historical point here, that the end of the Pasuk says, Ad Hayom Azeh. Right? That the Yevusi, Vayeshev, I'm sorry, I didn't finish the Pasuk, Vayeshev Yevusi es Bnei Binyamin B'Yerushalayim Ad Hayom Azeh. That the Yevusi remained with Bnei Binyamin in Yerushalayim until today. What's today? What's Ad Hayom Azeh? So if you remember, who wrote Sefer Shoftim? We learned in the first year.
Shmuel.
Right? So the Mefarshim point out that Shmuel HaNavi is writing Sefer Shoftim, and in the times of Shmuel, he's reporting that the Yavusi is still around. He's telling us the story of what happened, that the Bnei Binyamin did not drive out the Yavusi, and he says that's the same Yavusi that's still around today, in my day, in Shmuel's day, that the Yavusi that's still around in that day. And again, as we said, that they were only driven out once David HaMelech came around.
Why did David to kick him out?
So David was able to kick him out because the oath was no longer in effect. Once the direct descendants were gone, as the oath took was only in effect until like I believe it's the great grandchildren, Adi Melech's great grand. And once those descendants were gone, so then David HaMelech was able to drive them out. Okay. So here we see that Yehuda did not conquer one area. We see that the Bnei Binyamin did not conquer one area. Moving on to Pasuk Chav Beis, Vayalu Beis Yosef Gam Heim Beis El VaHashem Imam. So Beis Yosef also come, right? Gam Heim. They too came and to conquer their territory, as the Mitzudas David says. That's the Gam Heim, that just like Yehuda went through and conquered their territory with one exception. Sorry, Ephraim. It's Ephraim, yeah. Menashe, we learned, half of Menashe is in Eber HaYarden, and the other half, I believe, already conquered their land, if I'm not mistaken. I think they were one of the Shvatim that conquered at the beginning. So it's here it's referring to Ephraim. And it says they conquered Beis El, Hashem Imam. Right, Hashem was with them. Here the Malbim says that what it means, Hashem Imam, is that Hashem really was with them, and that's what enabled them to conquer Beis El. But they did not properly recognize that Hashem was with them. Right? They didn't have the proper recognition that Hashem was with them, and that was part of their problem. Okay, that's the pasuk Chaf Gimel. Vayasiru beis Yosef beis El v'shem ha'ir lefanim luz. So the pasuk says here in Chaf Beis vayasiru. So how do they translate vayasiru? That they spied, right? Mitur ha'aretz, like from the language of mitur ha'aretz, from spying in the land. So it seems it's interesting that they conquered again. The pasuk says they conquered Beis El, right? They went to Beis El. Hashem was with them. So I believe one of the mafarshim here says that Beis El, the language of the Beis here, implies that they didn't actually go into Beis El, but they were kind of like going around the city. They were around the city. They weren't literally in the city. Okay, pasuk Chaf Gimel. I'm sorry, and also the name of the city beforehand was Luz. Pasuk Chaf Gimel. I'm sorry, that was Chaf Gimel. Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Just lost my place here. Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Vayiru hashomrim ish yotze min ha'ir. So here it's interesting. The Alshich points out here that this city was hidden. It was a hidden city. So the Alshich says there was a tree that I think the Medrash says that the only entrance into the city was through a cave. That was the only way to get. There was only one way to get into the city. It was through this cave, and the cave was blocked by a tree. And they didn't know where the entrance was, right? So here, so the pasuk says that they had these shomrim who were watching out, and they see vayiru hashomrim. The shomrim see ish yotzei min ha'ir. They see a person coming, you know, coming out of the city.
It's
the same place, right? It used to be called Luz, and now it's Beis El. So they come around the city. They're coming up to conquer the city, but they have to get in, and they don't know how to get in. To the city. So what happens? Vayomru lo, so they say to him, Har'enu na'es mevo ha'ir, ve'asinu imcha chased. And they say to him, you know, do me a favor, let us know, please, how you get into the city, and we'll do chased. We'll do chased with you. We'll spare you, exactly. Right? Almost sounds like a rachav. It sounds like the story of Rachav and Yericho, right? Not exactly, because there they got into the city, just Rachav hid them, and therefore they rewarded her and saved her family. So what happened? Vayar emes mevo ha'ir, Right? So this fellow showed them the entrance to the city. I guess he sees that, okay, you know, the cause is lost. You know, they're going to kill, or else they're going to kill me. So he shows them the entrance to the city. So they see the city. Beis Yosef comes in, and they destroy the city. And this individual who showed them how to get into the city, he and all of his family are sent out to safety. So it's an amazing thing. The Das Sofrim here, one of the Mefarshim, he explains that that you see the power of Chesed, right? The power of Chesed. That here, what did this guy do? What did this guy do? All he did was show them the city. That's all he did.
The entrance.
The entrance. He showed them the entrance of how to get into the city. That's all he did. And they rewarded him by completely saving him and his entire family. Right? So imagine, you know, that was like a very minor thing. All he did was point. Right? It's like the God junk, guys. Right? You just point, right? And everything is gone. Right? So, well, that's all he did. All he did was point. Okay? And they destroyed the whole city. And now, and that's it. And then he was rewarded for his life, with his life. You know, Rachav, we understand. Rachav, she hid the guys, you know, she hid them in her inn. And then even when the king's men came, Rachav said, I don't know what you're talking about. They're not here. They left. They went. You know, she made up a whole story. You know, she put her life on the line. But that's one thing. If a woman, if somebody puts their life on the line, you're going to, okay, we understand you're going to save them. Here, what did this guy do? He went like this. He showed them where the city was. That was it. And yet, because of that small, minor thing, he showed them where it was, and they saved him and his family. So that's a tremendous, tremendous schar. You know, nowadays you think of the, you know, lahavda, you think of like the, you know, the ravaging armies. If they would ask someone, where's the entrance to the city, right? Well, you know, we'll take care of you if you show us where the entrance to the city is. And he shows them. What are they going to do?
Kill him.
Kill him. Right, we'll take care of you, right? Thanks for your advice. You know, now then they kill him. Right here, the Bnei Yisrael. No, he did us a tova. He did us a tova. He helped us out. He helped us out. We're gonna save him. We're gonna save him. I don't know. I wish I could say that, like, you know, his grandchildren are now rushing yeshiva and Bnei Brak. You know. I don't know that that's the case, but certainly it's a tremendous schar for even a small little chesed that he did here. Okay, let's keep going. Vayelech ha'ish eretz achitim. So this fellow he travels to the land of the Chitim. Vayiven ir. And he builds a city, Vayikra Shema Luz. And he builds a city, he calls it Luz. Probably, you know, to remember the Luz that he grew up in. Because remember, Basel used to be called Luz. So he calls the city Luz. Hu Shema Ara Yomazah. And that's the name of the city to this day. The name of the city Luz, that's the name of the city. Okay. Okay, let's keep going. The following psukim are more or less just descriptions of the things that the different Shvatim of Bnei Yisrael did not conquer. So let's read through them. Pasuk Chav Zayin, V'lahorish Menashe es Beis She'an ve'es Benoseha. So here the Pesukim just described the areas that were not conquered. Right? Menashe did not conquer the area of Beis She'an and Benoseha. Benoseha literally means its daughters, but in the context of a city, it means like the small satellite, you know, villages, the suburbs that surrounded it, the smaller cities. Ves Yoshve Yivla'am v'yes b'noseha, also the people of Yivla'am were spared. Ves Yoshve Megiddo v'yes b'noseha, v'yoma l'Knani l'asheves ba'aretz hazos. And the Knani was, they sat here. They sat in this land. They were, the art scroll here I have translates it as they were determined. They were determined to stay in the land. You know, they didn't want to be driven out. And here, the Bnei Menashe, they showed a little reluctance to force them out. They didn't really want to force them out. Pasuk Chav Ches, Vayiki Chazak Yisrael, Vayosem Es Aknani Lomas. So what happened? Yisrael was strong, right? Bnei Yisrael was definitely the stronger force in Eretz Yisrael at this time, even though they didn't drive out all the Kanani, but they were definitely the stronger force. So what did they do? They taxed. They imposed a tax on the Kanani that were still there. V'horish lo horisho. But they didn't totally drive them out. Okay? So we see they're kind of like trying to compromise. You know, we're not going to totally drive them out. We'll tax them. You know, we'll show our authority over them. But they're not willing to totally drive them out. Pasuk Chavtes, Ve'efraim, Lahorish, Esaknani, Hayoshev, Begazer. Ephraim did not drive out the Knani that lived in this place called Gazer or Gezer. Ayeshiva Knani Bikirbo Begazer, and they sat and they settled Bikirbo. Literally. What's Bikirbo? Among them. Among them. Right? They were like, you know, they were living among them in this place called Gezer.
Is this Ephraim or
Base Yosef? This is Ephraim. So we see Base Yosef really were, what do you mean? Referring to Ephraim. Yeah. We mentioned Menashe here, but I don't think Menashe is really fighting so much. I think Menashe did most of their fighting earlier. I think we're just mentioning some of the lands that Menashe didn't conquer. But we do mention Menashe also in Pasuk Chavzai. Yeah. Chavtes says Ephraim explicitly, right.
And that's Beis
Yosef. Yeah. Okay, Pasuk Lamed. Pasuk Lamed, Zvulun Nahorish Es Yoshe Kitro. So Zvulun did not drive out the those who dwelled in Kitro. Ves Yoshe Nahalol, Vayeshva Knani Bikirbo, Vayiyu Lamas. And again, right, the Knani settled among them, they were taxed, but that was it, they didn't drive them out. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Osher Lahorish Es Yoshe Akko, Ves Yoshe Tzidon, Ves Lach, Ves Achlo, Ves Achziv, Ves Chelbo, Ves Afik, Ves Rechov, right, many cities. Usher didn't drive out the Kanani. Vayeshev ha'asheri b'kerev ha'Kanani yoshvei ha'aretz kilo ha'risho, and they settled among them. Right now, here it's interesting because if you look at pasuk chavtes again with Ephraim, what does it say? Vayeshev ha'Kanani b'kirbo, that the Kanani lived among the bnei Ephraim, Right again in pasuk lamed zvulun, vayeshev ha'Kanani b'kirbo. Already here, when it comes to Usher, the change in the language is stark and very dramatic here. Vayeshev ha'asheri bekerav ha'knani. Right? It's almost like who's the majority and who's the minority. Again, I don't know what the numbers were, but in terms of, you know, what's going on here, it seems like there was so many cities that Usher did not conquer. It was almost as if Usher was living among the Knani. Not that the Knani, you know, remained among the Bnei Usher. No. The Bnei Usher dwelled among the Kanani. The Kanani really were the ones who ruled the roost here, so to speak. Again, not 100%, because it does seem that they were in charge. You know, the Bnei Yisrael, but still, it's stark to see, you know, the language here. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Naftali lo horish es yoshvei beis Shemesh, ves yoshvei beis Anos. So Naftali did not conquer Beit Shemesh, beis Anos. Ayeshev v'kerav ha'knani yoshvei ha'aretz, and again the same language as it pertains to Usher, right? That they settled among the Knani, who were the inhabitants of the land. Yoshvei beis Shemesh ubeis Anos hayu lahem lamas. But again, they charged them taxes. Pasuk lamed dalid, vayilchatzu ha'emorias beis es bnei don ha'hara. So here it's interesting. Here the Emori are already starting to push back. Right, they're already starting to push back, and this you see as the perek is progressing from beginning to end, we're seeing the Bnei Yisrael weakening a little bit, and the Kananim strengthening themselves a little bit. And here you have already in a very strong way Naphtali. Bnei Dan, where you have the Emori already, they're pushing back at the Bnei Dan, right? Fa'il Chatzu as Bnei Dan Har, they push the Bnei Dan towards the mountain, right? Kilon is sanola redes la'emek, and they don't let them come down to the emek. So again, they're putting up a fight, right? The Bnei Don wanted the emek, and the Bnei Emori fought back, and they pushed them back to the mountain. And it seems like that's where they stayed. That's where they settled. Vayol ha'emori la'sheves behar cheres, and again, the Emori wanted to stay. They wanted to dwell on this place har cheres ba'ayalon uvesha'alvim. Right? Sound familiar? Sha'alvim. Right? Sha'alvim. Okay? Vatich bad yad beis Yosef vayiyu lamas. And again, they were still in charge. The Bnei Yisrael. Here we're again referring to the Beis Yosef. And they taxed them. But at the same time, it's not exactly the way that we had planned. U'gevul ha'emori mimah le'akrabim me'asela v'mala. And that's the gvul of the Emori. Was from this place, Male Akrabim, from this rock and above. You know, so you see, as we go through, as we went through the, I went kind of quickly the end of this perek, but it's more or less all the same stuff of, you know, these lands and these cities and these places were not conquered. But you see that, you know, the Bnei Yisrael in the beginning, in times of Yoshua, we were so forceful. You know, we just came in and we kind of like wiped everybody out, which is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to do. He didn't want us to leave the Amori and the Kanani among us. And, you know, and we're kind of weakening. We're kind of weakening in our mission. You know, we don't want to drive them out. You know, we don't want to put up the fight. And again, part of it, as the Mefarshim said towards the beginning of where we learned Perek, you know, Pesukim Yud Zayin, Yud Ches Yud Tes, part of it was a little bit of a lack of bitachon, right, where Yehoshua and Kalev had concrete, you know, rock solid bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he was going to help them, and therefore they just kind of plowed through, and they weren't fearful of anyone, because they knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with them. You know, you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu behind you, you just go. And here already the other Shvatim are weakening a little bit in that emunah and bitachon, and because of that it makes it a little bit more challenging. What was the great, you know, what was the big ba'ya? What was the big problem here? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu care if the Kanani stayed among them, didn't stay among them? What's the big deal? So let a few of them stay. You know, let them stay on the mountain, let them stay in the valley, let them stay here and stay there. You know, why can't we live in peace, so to speak, with them?
Say at the end of Yoshua, because Avodah Zarah.
Exactly, right. So the problem really was the Avodah Zarah here. The problem really was the Avodah Zarah, that these people, because of their belief system, everything that they believed in, everything that they worshipped, was the antithesis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Was the antithesis of everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu stood for, everything that the Torah stood for. And, you know, once they're among them, the influence is going to be felt. Right? And we see so often throughout Chazal, we have Psukim. You know, most famously we know Chazal said in reference to the Korach Va'adaso. Right? That the Pasuk says that the Bnei Korach, they also plotted with the Bnei Reuven. Right? And Rashi there on the spot says, why the Bnei Reuven? Why? Because Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shechena. Because the Bnei Reuven were situated right next to the Bnei Korach. So they were influenced by the Bnei Korach. Right? So the Bnei Reuven joined up with the Bnei Korach to, you know, in his rebellion. You know, and we find again and again throughout Chazal, we find the importance of good neighbors and a Shachin Tov. Rashi in Pirkei Avos says that, you know, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that there's nothing greater than a Shachin Tov. Right? I mean, the different Tanoim in the Mishnah there say, you know, talk about what's the best way that a person should act. And, you know, people talk about, some of the Tanoim talk about the Roes Hanolad or Lev Tov. And Rabbi Yossi says a Shachin Tov. You need a good neighbor. You need a good neighbor. Why do you need a good neighbor? So Rashi says, what's so great about a Shachin Tov? He says, because the Shachin sees you all day and all night. And Rashi says, lo made me masov. You learn, right? You learn from each other. You know, and those of us who have relationships with our neighbors, you know, we know that, you know, sometimes you can become very close with your neighbor, and sometimes your kids are, you know, with your neighbor, and, you know, and it can be like a real relationship. It could be a real, you know, Baruch Hashem. You know, we moved in here a couple of years ago. We met people on our block, and we have wonderful relationships with them, as I'm sure many of you do. You know, and it's a special thing sometimes, the connections that you have with your neighbors. And they see you at all times of the day or night when other people don't necessarily see you. You know, when you're not necessarily on guard, so to speak. You know, they see you at all times. And the importance of maintaining the good environment and the positive and growing environment, as the Rambam says, famous Rambam in Hilchos Deos in the beginning of Perek Vav, where he says, Derech Briyaso Shalada, that man was created. What's human nature? That a person by nature is always drawn after their friends, right? After their loved ones, their friends. That's how a person is drawn. That's what influences a person. You know, I have these discussions many times with my Talmidim in 12th grade. They're making decisions. In 12th grade, they're all deciding. They're thinking about where they're going to go for their year in Israel, where are they going to go for college, you know, after their year in Israel. And, you know, and a lot of the discussions that we have focus on this idea that, you know, we have to recognize human nature. We have to surround ourselves with good people. You know, because if, you know, we have a tendency to kind of go with the flow. And we have a tendency, okay, you know, it's always nice to swim upstream. You know, and sometimes people get strengthened when they're swimming upstream against the tide, so to speak. But very often it erodes our resilience. And, you know, and when we're swimming upstream and we're with people that are not necessarily, you know, like-minded and not necessarily supportive of our way of life and our decisions, so what happens? It sometimes it eats away at our resilience. It eats away at our resolve, and we're not able in the same way to maintain our convictions the way that we should. And that's really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was afraid of. That you keep the Avodah Zarah there, or the Amori, the Canaan, you keep the Avodah Zarah there, so you might say, listen, it's in the name of peace, we want to be at peace with our neighbors, you know, we want to live peacefully among them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that's all nice and good. But keep in mind that you're neighbors. And keep in mind that once you have neighbors, you're going to start to mingle. And what happens if you start to mingle there? They're Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They're going to start to influence you. They're going to start to influence you, and they're going to erode your resolve and your resilience. And what's going to happen is that you're going to end up slipping. You end up slipping and sliding into their thought patterns, sometimes their way of life. And we see, as we're going to go through Sefer Shoftim, we're going to begin in Perek Beis, Yetz Hashem, next week, where we see that Bnei Yisrael do start to slip, and they do start to sin, and they begin doing Avodah Zarah, and that really begins this entire cycle of Sefer Shoftim, where the Bnei Yisrael are doing Avodah Zarah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings punishment upon them, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to bring the Shofet to bail them out. So Mitzvah Shem will pick up next week with the beginning of Parak Beis.